Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Kuf Zayin. We are holding on the topic of Zayin Amud Aleph. We are beginning the new parak, the 13th parak of Maseches Yevamos. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very, very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shir. So today what we're going to discuss, first of all, the entire parak is going to be about the concept of Miyun. Maybe we'll give a little introduction to the parak in a moment, but today's Daf is going to discuss, first, the Mishnah is going to have five machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about the halachos of Miyun, of a katana being Mima Enes on a Kiddushin Midrabanan, and then the Gemara is going to pick on that first machlokas where Beis Shammai says that you can only do it Mina Erusin, you can't do Miyun once there is Nisuin. So the Gemara is going to have four different explanations as to why it is that once there is Nisue Kitana, that there can't be Miyun anymore, and that takes us through the majority of Amud Aleph. And then we're going to have a machlokas, what Beis Hillel means when Beis Hillel says that that she could be Mima Enes, not only on her husband, but be Yavam as well. So three different opinions, what that means, to be Mima Enes on the Yavam. The Gemara is also going to have three opinions. If let's say there are multiple Yevamin, the husband dies and there are several brothers, and she does Miyun on one of them. So what does that do? Does it accomplish nothing? Does it accomplish everything? Or does it have a partial accomplishment that it makes her Asura to that one, but maybe not Asura to the others? And then the Gemara is just going to go through piece by piece the different lines of our Mishnah, the different machlokos in our Mishnah, explaining some of the details relating to whether you require a Beis Din in order to do Miyun. And even if you don't require a Beis Din of Mumchin, do you at least require three people to make some sort of Beis Din? And then the Mishnah on the bottom of the Beis, we'll see if we get to it, discusses who is eligible for me and what type of katana is eligible for me, and as well as some other halachos relating to Miyun. So a little bit of background to this entire parak. This parak deals with Kiddusha Katana, which is only Midrabanan, meaning there is Kiddusha Katana Midaraisa. There's such a thing. If a father gives his daughter over for Kiddusha, that works Midaraisa, but that's not the topic of this parak. This parak is when a Kiddusha Katana happens Midrabanan, and how that marriage could end, how that Kiddusha Katana could end. Because Midaraisa, a father could be Mekadesh and give over his daughter, for his Katana daughter, even Bal Karcha, and he is Zakai Bekes of Kiddusha, he gets the money from that Kiddushin, and he receives the money in exchange gives his daughter over for Kiddushin, because the halacha is, Minat Torah, a daughter until she becomes a Bogeris, which is 12 years old and 6 months, is Birushus Avia, so the father could sell her for a Shivcha, so he could also give her over for Kiddushin. The Torah gives him the right to, even Shalomi Daita, to give her over for Kiddushin, and if the husband wants to divorce her, so if it was from Erisin, so the father is Makabal to get. If it's Minan Nisuin, if she already had Nisuin, so then it's a Safik and Tosus in Mesachas Kiddushin and Daf Yud, whether the father could be Makabal to get. So the father could be Makadish the daughter even several times, Minat Torah, but that's only so long as she hasn't had Nisuin. Once she has Nisuin, then she's Yotzi Mirushuso, then he no longer has any rights over her. So this Ketana that, let's say, the father gave her over for Kiddushin, and she's Niskarsha, and she had Nisuin, and then she gets divorced, is what Chazal referred to as a Yisoma Bechaye Avia, that in a certain sense she's a Yisoma in that her father no longer has the rights to give her over for Kiddushin, but it's B'chai Avia, because her father is still alive. If her father was dead, she'd actually be Yisoma. So the din is Mita Oraisa, no one has the schus to give her over for Kiddushin at that point, but Chazal saw that there's a chashash that this Katana, who's no longer B'rishus Ha'av, is going to be Mufkeres, and she's going to, you know, she's going to be Hefker to everybody. So they made a Takana that her mother and her brother, who are the closest relatives, are able to give her over for Kiddushin, in order that she should be Birushos Baila, and Mimela, the husband, will protect her, and she's not going to be Hefker. They were also Masakin that at a certain age, she's able to be Makadish herself. She can give herself over for Kiddushin. So as Machlokas Rishonim, in a case that she's a Yisoma B'chayi Av, were they also Masakin that her father can also give her over for Kiddushin? Meaning Mida Oraisa, he can't, but maybe Mida Rabbanan, there's such a concept of Kiddushin Mida Rabbanan that even the father could affect But certainly the brother and the mother, midrabanan, are able to effect such a kiddushin. So a kiddushin and nisun of a katana midrabanan is very different than a kiddushin that the father gives her over midaraisa. So first of all, when the father gives her over for kiddushin midaraisa, that even works bal karcha, even if she's not interested. A kiddushin that's this takanas chazal, a kiddushin midrabanan, the mother and the brother give her over, it has to be midaita. It has to be something that she's interested in and that she approves of. And even how the marriage ends is entirely different. That when it comes to Kiddushin Midaraisa, she needs a get like any other woman that gets married. But if the Kiddushin was only Midrabanan, you don't need a get. She's able to do what's called Miyun. She's able to just say, I reject, I'm not interested in this husband. And that alone enables her to marry somebody else. Some of the Rishonim say that the Miyun is only to be Mafkia, the husband, from his Zuchuyos, that he no longer is able to benefit from her Maisi Yadayim or from her Peros. But to be Mater Lashuk, she doesn't even really need a Miyun. Just by virtue of the fact that she goes and marries somebody else, Ein Miyun Gadol Mizeh, that is her Miyun. That the formality of the Miyun is only to take away the Zuchuyos of the husband. And Miyun is also different from a get in its very essence, in its very nature. That when a couple is married and the husband gives the wife a get, they were married that whole time. And the get stops the marriage, mikanu lahaba. However, when it comes to Miyun, Miyun is okay, the ishus lemafreya. Miyun makes it that they were never married. Nafkamina would be, does she become asura bekrove baila? What about his relatives? Is she allowed to marry his father? Is she allowed to marry his relatives? If it's a get, no, because those are krovim of her husband, but of someone she was once married to. But if it's Miyun, she was never married to the guy, so now she's allowed to marry his relatives. Okay, so that's the basic background to the concept of Kiddushin Midrabanan, which our entire parak is going to discuss. So as we said, our Mishnah has five machlokos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about Miyun. So number one, Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Memanin Ela Arusos, that if a katana is a yesoma and her mother and her brother give her over for Kiddushin, she can only do Miyun when she's and become Mutaris L'shuk if she only had Erusin. But once she had Nisuin, it's too late. She's not allowed to do Miyun. At least L'chadchila, she's not allowed to do Miyun. Tosa Rush points out, why doesn't the Mishnah say Unusuos lo mima enes? It just says Ela Arusos. Why doesn't it mention but not Nisuos? The Ramban points out, why does the Mishnah not write it in a more positive way? That Arusa mima enes. It's Ein Miman in Ela Arusa. So both of those Rishon, both of those Rosh and the Ramban say the impression you get from the Mishnah, Ein Miman in Ela Arusos, is only in the Chadchila. That the Chadchila only in Arusa could do Nisun, but Bediyevet could do Miyun, but Bediyevet, even if a Nisua did Miyun, even the Beis Shammai would agree that Bediyevet it works. But Beis Shammai is telling us, you're not supposed to do that. You only do Miyun when you're in Arusa. Once you're in Nisua, it's too late to do Miyun the Chadchila. Bediyevet would work, too late to do the Chadchila. Ubeisil Amrim Arusos Unisuos. But Beisil disagrees. Beisil holds that even a Nisua is able to do Miyun l'chadchila. She's able to do Miyun. So that is machlokas number one. And as we mentioned, the Gemara is going to have four explanations for Shitas Beis Shammai as to why it is that once there is Nisuin, the Katana can no longer be Mima'enes l'chadchila. Second machlokas, Beis Shammai Omrim Bibal v'lo b'yavam. The Miyun works on the guy that she was originally given over to b'kiddushin midrabanan. But if that guy died and now she's facing his brother for a Yibum type of situation, and she never did Miyun on the husband, and now she's dealing with the Yavam, she can't just be Mima'enes on the Yavam and become Pater from the Zika. She has to wait until she becomes a Gedola and go through a normal Chalitza process. Ubeisil Omrim Bibal Ubiyavam. Beisil says, no, Miyun works on the original husband, and he's dead, and she's still a Katana, so she could do Miyun on the Yavam as well. So there's a Machlokas in the Gemara that we're going to see whether the Miyun, what the Miyun does when she does it on the Yavam. Does the Miyun undo the original Nisuin of the deceased brother, and therefore Mimela there never was a Zika? Or maybe no. The Yavam, maybe we're talking about a case where the Yavam already did something to lay claim to her. He did Maimer, he did some sort of Kiddushin Midrabanan on her. So we say, oh, so then a Miyun is going to work to undo that Kiddushin Midrabanan of Maimer. But it's not going to undo the previous marriage. That's already, the husband is already dead. It's too late for her to do Miyun on that previous marriage. That's going to be a machlokas in the Gemara within Shitas Beis Lulav. What exactly is happening when she does miyun on the Yavam? Is it undoing the original marriage, or is it just saying if the Yavam happened to have done a maimer, so that a miyun will undo that? And then a third machlokas, Beishamei Omer b'fanav, or Beisalel Omer b'fanav, v'shalo b'fanav. Beishamei says she can only do miyun while the husband is there. If he's not there, then she cannot do miyun, because we're concerned that maybe had he been there, she would have been embarrassed and she would not have done it. And therefore, we do not trust a miyun that is not in front of him. That's how the Meiri explains. Meaning, Beishamei holds that there's an inyan to stay away from miyun as much as possible. That's how a number of the Rishonim say. That's why Beishamei says that it's got to be b'frei Beis Din. The Ramban says a Beis Din of Mumchin, in order to make it difficult to do miyun. And Beis Hillel says, nah, why do you have to make it difficult? Even shalom b'fanav, it's a guliyah milsa ba'alma, mali b'fanav, mali shalom b'fanav, you do the miyun. So Beishamei says it's got to be b'fanav. Again, they try to put roadblocks in the way from doing miyun. Beis Hillel amrim b'fanav, shalom b'fanav. She could do miyun even if the husband's not there. Fourth machlokes, Beishamei Omer b'beis din. Beishamei says it needs to be in front of a beis din of dayan and mumchin. Or Beishamei Omer b'beis din v'shalom b'beis din, that it could be in front of a beis din or not in front of a beis din. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to explain there needs to be three people there. You need shlosh adyaltos, but shalom b'beis din means not a beis din of mumchin. And then a fifth machlokes, but in this one Beishamei Shita comes first. Amar lan Beishamei Beishamei. Beishamei says to Beishamei, "Mima'enes v'katana v'afilu arba v'chamish pa'amim," that a katana could do miyun even four or five times. That each time she could be given over for kiddushin again, for a kiddushin midrabanan again, and each time she could do miyun again. Amar lan Beishamei. Beishamei says to the Beishamei, "No way. How could she be constantly be given over for kiddushin midrabanan? Ain benos Yisrael hefker. You can't make benos Yisrael hefker like that, where she's just constantly be giving over to being given over to different men." So Ella mima enes umam tenes such a tagdil v'timayin v'tinase. No, what she has to do is if she wants out of that first marriage midrabanan that she had, she does miyun on that. Then she waits until she gets. If she wants to get married again, she has to wait until she gets older, do another miyun, and then at that point she can go and get married. And the Gemara is going to discuss why a second miyun. She already did a miyun when she was a katana. Why does she have to wait until she gets older, do another miyun, and then get married? So that's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. So as we said, the Gemara is going to bring four explanations, going back to the first machlokas Beishamei Beis Hillel, where Beishamei said that only arusos could do miyun. Once you're at the stage of nisuin, it's too late to do miyun. So I'm Rabbi Yomar Shmuel, my time in the Beishamai. Why is it the Beishamai holds that it's only Arusos and not Nesuos? Meaning, after all, the Nesuos are also Katanos, and if she's a Katana, the whole thing is Midrabanan, let her do the Miyun. Lufi Shein Tanai B'Nisuin. That there's a klal that Tanai does not work by Nisuin of a Gedola, and even if there was a Tanai at the Zman of the Kiddushin, the person's Mekadesh, Almanas, that a woman doesn't have a Mum, let's say, we assume that once they already have Nisuin, the Tanai is no longer binding. Once they have Nisuin, we assume there's a Mechilas HaTanai. Once they already have Bia, we assume that he's been Mochel the Tanai, and they are fully married. The Nisua to Ma'ein, and if a Nisua would be allowed to do Miyun, so everyone's going to see that here's a woman, had Nisuin, and then the marriage just ended without a get. She just walked away. So people are going to assume, you know what must have happened? Asil Meimer Yesh Tanai B'Nisuin. People aren't going to realize that the Nisuin was only Midrabanan, and that's why she was able to do Miyun and walk away. They're going to say she was a Nisua and she walked away from the marriage. Must be because there was a Tanai, and that a Tanai helps on the Nisuin, and the Tanai wasn't fulfilled, and that's why she was able to walk away. So in order to make it very, very clear that ain't Tanai be Nisuin, and not to give the misimpression that a Tanai works on a Nisuin, we can never let a person walk away from a Nisuin without a get. So that's the first explanation of the Shita of Beishamei. So asks the Gemara, from the fact that Beishamei says, ein mimanin ela arusos, sounds like that no matter what, anyone who's not an arusa cannot do miyun. But if the whole reason that you're not allowed to do miyun once you're in a suwa is because once there's a bia, we assume that there's no tanai is going to help anymore, and that there's been a mechila, so that svara shouldn't work for a case of nichnas alechupa v'lo nivla. If she had nisuin, meaning nichnas alechupa, she had nisuin, but not yet bia, so the halacha should be that she should be able to be mima'enes, because after all, at that point, the tanai should still be binding. So says Gemara, no, fi shein tanai b'chuppah. Even by a chuppah, there's an assumption of chibas bia with the chuppah, that even though there wasn't actual bia, we assume at the point of chuppah already, all tanais are mocha. That any tanai that may have been present, he's already mochel that tanai, and he's already fully in on the marriage, and therefore, in order to make it clear that there could be no tanai on a nisuin, even if there was no bia yet, even if there was just chuppah, there cannot be miyun on a nisuin either. So says Gemara, yeah, but that's by chuppah where there's chibas bia. What if masar av l'shluchei abal ma'ikal meimar? What if you didn't even have chuppah yet? All you had was that the Av gave her over to the shluchim of the husband to bring her back to his house. So there's no chibas bia, there's no chibas chuppah, there's nothing yet. So there's no kesher at all between the husband and his wife. There's no chibah for him to be mochel on the tanai. So why doesn't miyun work in such a case where a woman is in a sua because the father had given her over to the shluchei abal, but there was no actual sense of chibah yet? In such a case, miyun should work, because in such a case, tanai could work. Says more lo plug rabbanan. The rabbanan and make a low plug that any nesua, anyone who's not an arusa, you simply can't do miyun, even though the logic doesn't work in every case of a nesua. Meaning, masra av l'shluchei abal is nisuin. The halacha of nisuin is that we know how to define kiddushin very clearly. The Mishnah defines kiddushin as kesef, shtar, bia. But once a woman has kiddushin, when a woman is an arusa, she's an eshes ish, but she's living in her father's house. The definition of nisuin is that she goes over to her husband's house. That she's now an Eishas Ish Bebeis Baila, no longer an Eishas Ish Bebeis Aviyah, she becomes an Eishas Ish Bebeis Baila. So that could happen with Chuppah, that he's Machnis her under the Chuppah, he brings her B'toch Beiso, he has Yichud with her, something like that. Or it could happen by just to the father giving her over to the Shluchei Abal, where now she's under the husband's jurisdiction, so to speak, because the father has given her up already, and it's the husband's messengers, it's the husband's proxies who are guarding her. So that would already be a Nisuin, but there's no chiba yet because they don't have any personal connection yet, because she hasn't been delivered yet. She hasn't come to the husband yet. So that would be, nevertheless, lo plug rabban Beisil. Why does Beisil disagree with this? Why aren't they gozer? That people are going to think that there's a tanai b'nisuin, that if we allow after nisuin that a woman just walks away from the marriage, people are going to think that there's a tanai b'nisuin. Meidiyadi b'nisuin ketan d'rabban ninu. Beisil says, nah, everybody knows that nisuin ketan. Everyone knows she was 10 years old. Everyone knows that Nisui Ketan is only Nisui Midrabanan. No one's going to raise an eyebrow if she walks away by just doing Miyun without a get, because everyone realizes that there was something missing in this Nisuin anyway. So no one's going to think that that because she walked away without a get, that you could have a Tanai in Nisuin. Second explanation of the Machlok Spirim Yisham Meisalo. Why is it that according to the Beis Shammai, a nesua cannot do miun? Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tarvayu, time of the Beis Shammai, l'fishein ademos bilas bilas nus. That the basis of Beis Shammai is that a person would never want to make his bia into a bilas nus. So if you're going to allow her to do miun after the nisuin, people are never going to want to marry a katana, because they're going to be nervous that what's going to happen? We're going to live like husband and wife for a number of years, and then one day she's going to get up and go and say that's it, I'm in my enes, and that's going to be oker the kiddushin l'mafreya. It will mean that they were never married, which means all these years that we've been living together, it's been a bi'ilas nus, and people don't want to do that. They don't want to have in their heads, as they're with their wives every single time, that maybe this is a bi'ilas nus, so no one's going to want to enter into such a marriage. So says Mar, okay, but so at least allow miyun if they didn't have bia yet, if they only had chuppah. Says Mar, lo nichle d'tavi chuppah di isura. No one wants their chuppah to be a chuppah of an isrus nus, meaning a chuppah that will only lead to a potential isrus nus, because it's only going to lead to a potential suffix every time they have bia together, because he doesn't know if she's going to be ma'enes. Says Mar, okay, but masra av l'shluchei abal ma'ikel meimar. What if it's not a chuppah? It's only masra av l'shluchei abal. So over there, there's no chuppah, there's no yichud, there's no znus, there's no nothing. So maybe you should say in such a case that she could be mima enes. Says Gemara, lo plug rabbanan. Nah, it's a lo plug. Ubeisilal, why isn't Beisilal choshesh that a person person is not going to want to marry a katana on account that he's going to be concerned that she's going to get up and go and be mema'enes, and all of his bios are going to be bilas nos. No one's going to think of their bios as a bios nos when he gets married in a ritual way, you know, when he gets married in a normal way with kiddushin and with the ksuba and with everything. So even though in a chinami she could do miyun and uproot the whole marriage of the mafreya, he's not going to think of that as a bios nos. Question is, who's right? The machlokes b'shem b'silo is a machlokes in psychology. Will the guy think of it as a biasnus, or will he not think of it as a biasnus? Let's say she is mema enes. Is it taka a biasnus? Meaning, b'silo says he's not going to think of it that way, therefore there's no chashash that he's not going to want to marry her. Okay, but like, between us, right? Was it actually a biasnus? Or do we say, no, it was not a biasnus, and b'shem is just concerned that even though it's not, he's going to think of it that way. So that seems to be a machlokes in the Achronim. The Aruch Lener explains in the Gemara that it doesn't mean that it's mamash a biasnus. It means that it's going to look like a biasnus, but it's not actually a biasnus. The Ar Sameach, as Yerushalmi, that sounds like that, according to Rabbi Lazar, a panu yabal apnuya, shalol shemishus is nus, so bias katana that's manas is also nus. That if you assume like the sheet of Rabbi Lazar, that a panu yabal apnuya counts as a biasnus, so then this is that. Then this actually is a biasnus. So what it actually is subject to machlokas achronim. But the machlokas b'sham b'silil is what psychologically the fellow is going to be thinking the whole time, and whether that's going to make him nervous enough to not want to marry the katana. It's an interesting idea that Beis Shammai is saying that you can't put a person in a position where in the back of his mind he's always going to be thinking that maybe this is a bias nus, that maybe we're not really married. This is very relevant because it came up as an eitzah to an aguna problem. There's a discussion in Poskim. What if you have a couple that gets married and the husband has a brother who's a mumar? He has one brother, but the brother is not religious, or the brother is not, you know, cannot be trusted to do the right thing if his brother dies without any children, and they know that it would be an aguna problem if the brother dies. So some wanted to suggest that the original kiddushin should be al tanai, that if we don't have any children and yinafel lifnei yibum, that the kiddushin is not chal. So it's not being oker davar mitorah. It's not a violation of mas al mashakasa b'torah. You're not making a tanai against the Torah, because mas al mashakasa b'torah would be to make a tanai that we shouldn't have a mitzvah of yibum, even though we do. Right? That you can't do. But over here, it's not mas al mashakasa b'torah. You're making a tanai that there should be no marriage to begin with. And if there's no marriage to begin with, then mimela, you're not going to. Mimela, if there's no marriage to begin with, there's not going to be a need for Yibum. So a number of the Achronim said, how could you do such a thing? That's hair-raising, meaning they're going to have a couple that's going to get married, and they're going to realize the whole time that every time they have Bia together, it's Al-Tanai, that maybe this is not really a marriage, and that's not... How can you sign off on a marriage like that? That the entire marriage, they're not even sure if they're married, it's all Tali and a Tanai? So they think it's a big, big Takala. We understand the problem that they're trying to solve, but it's a big, big takkala. There's even a tshuva in the Nodi Behuda where someone actually implemented that. In the Nodi Behuda, Madura Kama, in Ebenezer, Simon and Dalin, there was a case of a woman whose husband died without Zeresh al Kayama, and there was a brother who was a deaf mute, who was not roi to do chalitza, and the woman said that at the time that her husband was Mekadish, or the brother was a mute, whatever, he was unable to do chalitza, so the woman said that at the time that the husband was Mekadish, there was a tanai in the kiddushin that if he dies without Zeresh al Kayama, it's the kiddushin is going to be batal mafreya. And the woman said, I'll tell you who my misari kiddushin is. It is Harav Rav Yuspa Zichrono Levracha, right? Meaning, so that right away takes away the possibility of going back to the guy and asking. That's a lot of times the problem you have with these things, that all these yichus issues usually come up 20, 30 years later. The questions come up 20, 30 years later. All the members of the Beis Din are usually dead by the time it comes up 20, 30 years later. So the ability to clarify these things is difficult. Just that last night I was dealing with a yichus issue. Someone discovered a geirus way back, generations back in the family. So it would be great if we could speak to the people that were involved, but everyone is long dead on the in the discussion. So the woman says that the Masari Kedushin told her that with each bia she should say to the husband right before the bia, this is only al tanai, to remind him that the whole thing is al tanai. And the edim who were there at the time of the Kedushin are dead also, and but they found among the writings of the Masari Kedushin that he wrote on on a piece of paper, Lizichro Nedus Avor Haisha, Maras Leyash, and Skacha, Lekmar Wolf, Vieshlo Achilim, Bitanai Kofel, Im Yamus Belizara Kayami, Yukadish Betele Meikar, that he actually kept his notes, that he actually insisted that he included such a Tanai. Now, you may not suggest that you should do such a thing, but if a guy did it already, so is the Tanai binding? So that's the whole discussion that the Nadiv Yehuda has. But why not to do it? It's because what the Gemara is saying over here, the Beis Shammai says you can't put into a person's head that every single time he's with his wife, that it may be a bilas nus. Then the third possibility as to what Beis Shammai, why Beis Shammai thinks ein miman in ella arusos. Rav Papa Amar time the Beis Shammai mishum piri. The reason is that we don't want the husband to destroy all of the wife's payros, that he's just going to benefit whatever he can and destroy all of her fields so that he can reap whatever he can while they're still married. And time the Beis Shammai mishum piri. And the reason for Beis Shammai is also on account of payros. How so? Time the Beis Shammai mishum piri. Di amin nesua timain. If you're going to say that nesua could do miyun, shamit vachalumina, the husband will just take whatever payros he can. He'll consume whatever he can to sof sof lemeipa kaima, because he knows that the woman can get up and leave at any point. So he's just gonna pillage the field for whatever payros he can get and leave the whole place in ruins. Beis Hillel says no. Adraba. Since he knows that she could just walk away, he knows that he's on trial over here, meaning that this is something that he still has to earn his keep. You know, if he wants to keep this wife and he wants to keep all of the properties that she has, see, he's going to take extra good care of it. He figures if I don't take good care of the field, then her relatives are going to tell her to leave me. So I don't want her to leave me. I want all these fields. So I'm going to take good care of them. So you don't have to make any such gezeira. And then a fourth possibility. Rava Amar Hainu Taima de Beis Shammai, that the reason there's no meaning by Nesua is Shein Adam Toreach B'Suuda Umafsida, that if you were to allow Nesua to do Miyun, people would not want to marry the Katana because they're going to be concerned that they're spending all this money on the Suuda, and then it's going to, they spent how many tens of thousands of dollars on a wedding, and then it's going to turn out that it yielded nothing, that she just walked away before she became a gadola, so no one is going to want to ever marry a katana. Beisil says no, they both would prefer to be married, even if it's only temporary. Everyone likes to have the reputation of being a married person, and therefore we're not concerned that someone is not going to want to spend the money on the Suuda. In the Medina de Gemara, in the times of the Gemara, and long after the times of the Gemara, it was the practice that the husband paid for the whole wedding. And now, whatever the practice is, whether it's split, flops, this, that, but the practice was that the husband paid for the whole wedding. And so much so that in halacha, sometimes if there's a divorce settlement, we take that into account. And we say, well, wait a second, if the wife paid for the whole wedding, that was really your responsibility to pay for the whole wedding. Probably her father wouldn't have wanted to pay for it if he would have known that the wedding and the marriage is only going to last 6 months or whatever. So maybe as part of the ksuba deal, you owe that money back also, that the wife's father laid out all this money. So anyway, but that was always the assumption. So Beis Shammai Omrim Bebaal. Now the Mishnah said that Beis Shammai says you can only do Yibum on the original husband, but if he dies, you can't do Miyun on the Yavam. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no, Bebaal will be Yavam. So Mida Raisa, a Yavama is only nikkudis with Bia. But there is such a thing called Maimer, that if the Chazal are Masakin, that if one of the brothers gives Kesef Kiddushin, so there is a little bit of a Kinyan to that brother, and the other brothers are now no longer able to do Yibum. And if the guy that was Makadisher doesn't want to keep it, doesn't want to marry her, so he can't, he's going to need not only Chalitza, he's going to need a get as well, right? That's Kiddushin Maimer. But now we have Machlokas Amroim. When Beis Hillel says that you could do Miyun on the Yavam, what does he mean by that? Samra Voshaya, Mimma Enes Lamamaro, Veina Mimma Enes Lizikaso. That if he did Mimer on her, that's what the Miyun is going to help. That the Miyun is going to undo that Mimer. But the Zika that she still has, because she was married
to the deceased brother, that's still there, so you're still going to need a chalitza. Amar Rav Chisda, my time with Rav Ashaya, why does Rav Ashaya hold that the miyun only helps to take away the kiddushay maimer, but it doesn't take away the zika? Maimer dimidaita matya akra. Maimer, which is something that she willingly accepted, so she can uproot by doing miyun. Zika to balkarcha, but a zika is something that happened balkarcha. That happened without her approval. Zika just happens when the husband dies, so she automatically becomes zakuk. So lo matya akra, she's not able to be oker a zika al yedei a miyun. Vare bia to balkarcha, says Gemara, but is that really true? Kiddushe Bia, that the Yavam is bowled her for the mitzvah of Yibum, that works even Balkarcha, meaning Kiddushe Bia for a husband to do does not work Balkarcha, but Kiddushe Bia for a Yavam to do will work even Balkarcha, Umatzia Akra, and nevertheless she's able to be Okra the Kiddushin and to do Miyun on the Yavam and to go without a get. So you see that Miyun is Labdafka on something that's Talui in her Das. So you can't say that that's the reason for Rav Shaya. So the Gemara says, no, another explanation of Rav Ashaya, why doesn't Miyun work on the original Zika? Elabia umaimer duhuka avin matzi akra. Bia and Maimer, where the Yavam himself is the one that does it, so she's able to be oker al yedei Miyun. Zika derachmana rama Allah, but Zika is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. It's not about whether she wanted it or not, whether it was Balkarcha. It's about who's doing it. Is it his Maisa or is it the Ribbono Shel Olam? The Ribbono Shel Olam makes a Zika happen, lo matza akra, that she cannot be oker, because the Miyun she could only be oker if it was chal by a person doing something. But something that's chal on its own from the Torah, from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that she's not able to undo with the Miyun. So by Kiddushei Ketana, even though the Zika is only Midrabanan, since the Zika was chal on its own, the Ketana is not able to be oker that Zika through Miyun. Ula Amar, Ula disagrees with Rav Ashaya entirely, and he says, Mima enes af zikaso, that when she does a miyun, it works even to undo the zika of the oven. She's not even going to need chalitza anymore. So again, Rav Ashaya said that if she had a kiddushei ketana that her mother and brother gave her over to, and then the husband died, so she's going to need a chalitza. It's just that if one of the brothers did a maimer, she could do a miyun on that maimer, but she's going to need a chalitza. Whereas Ula says, no, if the husband died, she could just do miyun and walk away, and there doesn't even need to be a chalitza. She's mema'enes aful zikaso. My time in the sui kamayin ka'akra. And the reason is because that's what miyun does. Miyun undoes the original nisuin. So there never was a situation of zika over here. So esve ravalu ula, rava challenges ula. Kol. And the Mishnah tells us on Daf Beis Amud Aleph that kol sheyicholu mayin v'lo miyana, any katana that was married with the nisuin midrabanan, the husband died, and she's now an erva on the brother, on the yavam, so she's able to be mema'in on her husband while he was alive, v'lo miyana, and she was not mema'in on the husband, and now she's facing a yibam situation, and she's an erva to the yavam. Let's say she's the yavam's daughter or something, meaning the case was that she was given over to this guy b'kiddushei ketana, but she is an erva with his brother, so she's one of the deceased man's wives, and she is an erva. The other wife is a tzaras erva, so tzaras chalitzas lo nesevemes. The tzara can only do chalitza but cannot do yibum, because when the ketana is an erva, memela the tzara is a tzaras erva midrabanan, meaning the ketana is only married midrabanan, so the tzara is not really a tzaras erva on a daraisa level. She's a tzaras erva on a drabanan level. So tzaras erva, if it's a daraisa, the halacha would be the tzara doesn't need anything, na chalitza na yibum, but since it's only a tzaras erva midrabanan, she can't do yibum because she is a tzaras erva, but she still needs chalitza because it's only an erva midrabanan. So you see from the Mishnah that there's no possibility that the tzara of a ketana is able to do yibum. Va'amai, but why is there no possibility she's able to do yibum? Temayin hashta v'tikrinin lisur kamay. According to you, Ula, that when even after the husband dies, she could still be mima enes on the original kiddushin, and therefore create a situation where there never was a zika. So let this katana do the miyun, and then her tzara is not a tzara's erva at all, and she'll be allowed to do yibum. So it says more tzara's erva shiny. Tzara's erva is different. That even if the miyun is going to uproot the nisuin of the erva, and it's going to turn out that there never was a yibum situation, and she's not really a tzara's erva, still the Chav master her to do Yibam. To Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, because Rami Bar Yecheskel told her Braisa, Miyana Bebal Mubteres La'aviv, that if she does miyun while the husband's still alive, so then she's allowed to marry that man's, that husband's father. But biyavam, if she waited till he died and she only did miyun on the yavam, she's not going to be allowed to marry his relatives. Alma b'shas nefila niris kikalaso. Why? Because at the time of nefila, at the time that the husband died, where she now would have faced a yibum situation, she seems to be the daughter-in-law of that man, even though she still has the ability to uproot it l'mafreya, but it looks like it's a daughter-in-law. So here also, when the husband died, this looks like a tzaras erva. So since it looks like a tzaras erva, even though in a chinami, she has the ability later to undo that, but that's bad enough that it looks like a tzaras erva. So now the Gemara brings a machlok samurai. If the deceased husband had many brothers, and the katana did miyun on one of them, so what's her status as far as that one that she did miyun to, and what about the rest of the brothers? So three opinions. Amarav, miyun abazeh asur lezeh. She does miyun on one of the brothers, she can't do yibam on any of the brothers. Midadava balas aget, just like someone who one of the brothers gave a get to. Balas aget, lav kivin di itasra lechad, since she becomes asur to one of them, itasra lekulu, she becomes asura to all of them. Sachanami lo shnas over here also by miyun, when she does miyun on one of them, so it has same din. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, miyun abazeh muteris lezeh, that if she does miyun on one of them, she's asura to that one, but she's muter to all the other ones. V'lo dami lebalas aget, and it's not like a balas aget at all. Balas aget who deka avid ba hacha he ka of the bay. By a balas aget, the yavam is the one that did a maisa on her. He's the one that gave her a get, so he passels her on the other brothers as well. Because by giving her a get, he's showing that what's he trying to accomplish? That he wants to asur her to everybody else. If he doesn't want her, he could just not do anything and just not marry her. But why is he giving her a get? Because he dafka wants to asur her to everybody else. But hach over here by miyun, she's the one doing something on him. She says, as part of the miyun, I'm not interested in you. But yeah, in you, bachu de lo raya, habachabrik rayana, but she still might be interested in the brothers. Ravasi amar, a third possibility. Miyun abazeh, muteres, afilu lo, that if she does miyun on one of the brothers, she's even still allowed to do yibum on that brother that she did miyun on. So lema krabiyoshi asvirale. Maybe we should say that Ravasi, this last opinion, also Kravoshia, Damra Inamanas Zikaso, that you simply can't do miyun on a Zika. That's why if she does miyun on one of the brothers, she could still do yibam on him because the miyun was worthless, because you can only do miyun on your husband, you can't do miyun on a Zika. So says Mar Bechadyav Machanami Dematsya Akra. No, really, Ravasi doesn't hold the Kravoshia. Ravasi holds if she's when there's only one Yavam, so in a chinami, if she does miyun on that one Yavam, it will be Oker the Zika. Hacha Bishnei Yavam Naskinan, but this is Dafka in a case where there's more than one Yavam. The ain miyun lechatzi Zika. And you can't do a miyun on half of a Zika, on one of the brothers, on one of the Yavamin. Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan miyun abazem muteris la'achin. Rabbi Yochanan said that if she does miyun on one brother, she's mutter to the other brothers. V'lo hodulo, and the Chum didn't agree. So man lo hodulo, who are the ones that don't agree to that? Amar Rabbi Rav. Rav is the one that doesn't agree to that, because Rav says miyun abazem asur l'kulam. Rav Amar Rabbi Oshaya, that Rabbi Oshaya doesn't agree to it. Even though from the Lashon Rabbi Yochanan, it sounds like she's muteres to all the other brothers, to all the brothers, even the one that she was Mima Enesbo, which is exactly what Rav Ashaya said. Nevertheless, from Rabbi Yochanan, it sounds that it's only when she has multiple brothers and she does miyun on only one of them, then the miyun is not going to be chal, because there's no miyun lechatzi zika. But had she done miyun on only one, on the one and only Yavam, then it would be a valid miyun. So that's against Rav Ashaya, who holds that there's no miyun whatsoever in the yibum situation. Varmi la Ravasi, and some say Ravasi is the one that was not molded to Rabbi Yochanan, because when Rabbi Yochanan was matir the brothers, he meant to be matir only the other brothers, but not the one that she did miyun on. Whereas Ravasi holds that she's even muteris to the one that she did miyun on. And then we said Beishavi Om Befanav, that Beishavi says that you can only do the miyun when the husband is present. Beisil says even if he's not present. So Tanya Omer la Beisil Beishavi, Beisil argued to Beishavi, velo Pishon haGamal miyana ishto shelo Befanav, Pishon the famous camel driver. His wife did miyun even when he wasn't there, and you see that the Beis didn't allow that lechachila. So Amalan Beis Shami leBeisil Beis Shami said back, Bishon Agamal v'mida kafusha madad. He was someone who wasn't didn't behave properly. He destroyed all of his wife's nichsei malug lefichach madadu lo v'mida kafusha. So we were extra mean to him, and therefore we allowed his wife to do miyun shalom b'fanav, which normally we never would have allowed. B'dievet it works, so we allowed it even lechachila. chil in such a case. Wait, if he was eating peiros, then it must have been a nisuin. But wait a second, beishami holds that once you have a nisuin, you can't do miyun. So Trey Kitri of Dubai, yeah, he was so terrible, we threw the book at him. We did a miyun even though it was nisuin, even though he wasn't there. Beishami rom b'fnei beisin, beisil says even shalom b'fnei beisin. So Tanan Asim, the first submission of Sanhedrin tells us, hachalitza v'amiunin b'shlosha, you need three dayanim for a miyun. So Mantana, amrabba beishamahi, that must be beishamahi, he says you need a beisin. Abaya amrafilitim beisil, no, that Mishnah is going like beisil. Ad kanokom beisil, lo b'inan mumchin, aval shlosha b'inan. Beisil agrees to the Mishnah Sanhedrin that you need three dayanim, he just argues that they don't need to be mumchin. Kidetanya, like the Brisa says, beishami amr b'fnei beisin, ubeisil amr b'fnei beisin, v'shalom b'fnei beisin. Ve'elu ve'elu modim, but both beishami beisil agree, shatzarek shlosha, that even it doesn't, though you don't need a beisin, you need three people. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Machshirim b'shnayim. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon say even two, even without a beisin at all. So I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Nimi, I'm Rabbi Nachman, halacha kol sa'azug, that we in fact paskin like osa azug, that you don't even need a beisin at all. In Piskei Arid and in the Bahag, they have a different kirsa that says ain halacha kol sa'azug. So a little bit different. That we don't paskin like osa azug, we paskin that Yitaka do need a beisin. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll pick up with the Beis Shamayom Tzidatz tomorrow. Yeah, have a good day.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too.